Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There has never been, nor will there ever be, anyone else, again, like the one and only, Bobby Bowden. More after this. Hurricane season is here. Recently we realized it's not just hurricane season that can hurt us. My in-laws had a pipe burst in their home. Our hotel for our wedding weekend had the main pipe burst. Any time of year, things can happen to your home or business. And the insurance company can be your friend, but they also can be your enemy. Horizon Public Adjusters, Justina Testa, are here for you to help this process go so much easier. Before you call the insurance company, call Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa at 954-809-8752. Would you go into court without an attorney? No. So why would you go up against an insurance company without Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa? First of all, they give you a free 11-point inspection, 7 to 10 times more money recovered with a public adjuster than if you went on your own. If there's no recovery, there's no fee. They work for you, not the insurance company. They'll minimize your stress and maximize your claim. Any and all insurance claims, Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa are here for you. Give them a call at 954-809-8752. Why go up against insurance companies alone when you can have Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa on your side?
State of Florida versus Casey Marie Anthony. We, the jury, find the defendant not guilty.
The law, my boy, puts us into everything. It's the ultimate backstage pass.
Fourth person, charging the defendant, Aaron Hernandez. What say you, Madam Fourth person?
Guilty.
Just the facts, ma'am.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, all truth, nothing but the truth?
Certainly. What have I got to lose?
Don't believe a word he says, Your Honor. He's crazy.
There truly is no one like Bobby Bowden. I grew up, as you all know by now, I'll live and die blood and guts, Florida State Seminole. My dad was an alumni, and from birth, Robert Lubitz made sure I bled garnet and gold, and Bobby Bowden was our savior, honestly. I mean, I grew up idolizing two men more than any when it came to sports, Don Shula and Bobby Bowden. However, sadly, in my life, Don Shula really didn't win a lot. We didn't win titles, but Bobby did. Florida State every year was top five for the majority of my life. Florida State every year was a title contender. Florida State ended up winning two titles under Bobby Bowden. But if it wasn't for the Miami Hurricanes, we would have probably won five or six. And Bobby, as he was known, it wasn't Bobby Bowden, it wasn't Coach, it was Bobby, was like a grandfather to me. I grew up idolizing this man with all of my being. And it was as big a moment in my life, let alone my career, when I first got to talk to Bobby Bowden. Actually, I was supposed to meet him. It was one of the most nerve-wracking experiences of my life. However, I got called in to be at the studio where his default was live at a benefit. I was supposed to be sitting next to the one and only Coach Bobby Bowden. And I don't even know if I was able to get a question out in that interview because I was just so awe-inspired to have him on the show. Eventually, we did have him on the internet show we used to do. We used to do a lot of Florida State. Marvin Jones was once a co-host, and then Richie Andrews, a legendary kicker for Florida State, was a co-host. And we got to talk to Bobby Bowden for an hour. It was one of the most memorable experiences of my life. Bobby was a guy that, to his players, to the fans, to rivals, to anyone in the media, was someone that was held in the highest esteem because he not only was a tremendous coach, the most winningest coach in college football history, Division 1A, yes, there were some improprieties that happened that had nothing to do with him, that he lost some wins, but in most people's minds, he's the winningest coach in college football history. So on the field, he handled it. But off the field, to a person, he treated every person he came across, whether you were the most important or you were someone that maybe no one had ever heard of, he treated you the same. He was God-fearing, he put family first, and he was someone that we all looked up to. So the news that he has a terminal condition is very sad and it's heartbreaking to me. So Lubitz Law for today is my heart, my prayers, my thoughts go out to the Bowden family and the world at large for having someone who has really shined bright on this world, hitting a tough spot. I love you, Bobby. Thank you for all you've done for Knoll Nation. Thank you for all you've done to for the sports world as you brought class, respect, and love to us all. This is Louis Law.
Is this Kentucky Fried Chicken drive-thru? Let me have a 9-piece, well-done, extra crispy. My two sides, give me a clueless manager and a terrible bullpen. Let me get one side. Give me a meddling, morale-killing owner.
We now return to the Defoe Show.
Holy Joel Osteen. This poor man was on hold. He wanted to go on the air at a specific time here, and always great to have him on the show. Craig Mish joins us on the program. Many affiliations, including MLB Network, the Miami Herald, Sports Grid Radio, 12 to 2 every day, Swings and Mish's podcast, does a dynamite job covering the Marlins and all else. In fact, I think you know Marlins news before Jeter, Craig Mish. Is that possibly true?
I would say that's possible. In all likelihood, 99%, I would say that he knows more than me. But I would give myself a 1% on there, like 1 out of every 100.
It's not bad.
I may know something. But in general, I would say that he does. By the way, can I add before we start that that was a very well done Luby's Law. I don't know if it was the golden era of coaching in Florida, but I was at Florida and even after when Bobby Bowden was at FSU and Steve Spurrier was at Florida. And then I believe Butch Davis was here, and Bobby was really, whatever, but he really was so much fun to cover. I had fun with Spurrier too, but Bobby was just an incredible interview. And when he would come in town in the Broward County and the Dade County, events, he would put on an absolute show. So I want to say good job there by Luby on that one.
Seemed impossible not to like him. I mean, Luby had to throw in the indiscretions even in the obituary there that he was writing. But nonetheless, he was absolutely shaking when he had the chance to interview Bobby Bowden. We're doing a show literally on like Radio Marti. I don't even know. I mean, there couldn't have been more than a handful of listeners. Not that, that doesn't scare me, that thought, even today. But no, we're here on a 50,000 watt blowtorch. I know we have an audience, but no one's even listening. And we were at Landlubbers, and Luby had a chance to talk to Bobby Bowden for an hour. But he was one of those guys, and you don't see this often with iconic sports figures. It's certainly not going to happen with Nick Saban, where you feel close to the guy, and he makes you feel that you're just as important as he is, like, right away. Now, Bobby Bowden had that unique quality.
He did. He was really just an incredible guy. I remember him coming to, when FSU would qualify for the Orange Bowl, and they would invite people to go to that thing at the Hard Rock before the game, and he would sit there with whoever the opposing coach was. And the opposing coach, you could just tell, was there to just meet, greet, and get out of there. And Bobby would sit there and sign every autograph and spend 5 minutes with every person. And people in the line would be so annoyed. But by the time you got through the line, you just had a conversation with an icon. He was just a great, great guy, no doubt.
Yeah, and I was a big fan of Gene Dekaroff's Seminole Hotline. When Bobby would always start out by saying, well, that little Johnny Jones, a young man from Apopka, but we sat down with his mama and had a rabbit stew like I've never had in my life. Like, what? A rabbit stew?
Well, one thing, though, in closing, I do want to say is I hate Florida State, but I do like Bobby Jones.
All right, what's going on with Los Marlins? Can we do it? I know you're aware of what we're talking about here. We need 31 and 37, and a great pitching matchup tonight, to be determined versus to be determined. I love that matchup.
Yeah, I mean, the TBDs are – this has been the story of the season. TBDs and a lot of L's. That's been the story
Wow.
of you pick some letters this year. It's
Is Mattingly okay? Are we all right? Yeah, what's going on with that?
I don't know. You're going to know on July 31st, Defoe, I would say that. It depends on who they trade at this point. I mean, that's really what it's going to come down to.
Everybody wants Marte. Everybody wants Marte.
Yeah, well, no, he's gone. He's going to get traded. No, he's going to get traded. Yeah. But it would. But look, that's not going to that's not going to make or break you, I don't think, at this point. It would be like if they traded, a starting pitcher. I mean, they really don't even have any left. So, I mean, I don't even know if that would be a factor. Wow. I guess we're just going to have to see who gets traded. That's going to really be the key, because if you remember 2 years ago when they were kind of middling around 500 and then they dealt a bunch of guys, they just completely fell apart in the last 2 months. And so I would be nervous if they dealt Rojas or Aguilar.
Excuse me.
Or any of those guys.
I'm choking here. deal everybody and then it fell apart. I mean, these are terms we don't want to hear in the deal Volkswagen run for 71. All right. I mean, how would you characterize the season? Is it fair to judge what progress the team may or may not have made? Obviously, it looks like they've regressed a little bit this year off of last year. But is it fair to judge based on the way things shook out? And as they say, all teams have injuries. But this was a team that, as we say in horse racing, must make no mistakes. I mean, they needed to kind of catch every break to be as good as last year, I would have thought. And that certainly wasn't the case this year.
No, they were done no favors by injuries, that's for sure. But like the Mets placed 32 players on the injured list this season. It's not an excuse. They should have never been in a position to be this thin with backup players, to basically essentially have no backup players to sub in if the main players got hurt. Like that's kind of been the story of the season. And other teams have backup players and used and signed and filled guys in and have kind of middled around 500. Like the Braves is a good example of that. They've had like a ton of injuries too, the Nationals as well. And they're, you know, somehow a few games under 500. So yeah, I look in the end, this is going to go down as a pretty big disappointment. I think that there are going to be a lot of changes in the off season. I think whether it is to the front office or the coaching staff, I think that is definitely coming at this point, unless there's a massive turnaround in the last 2 months. You're right. They were a little fortunate in that 60-game season, but they also had 19 players placed on the COVID list and somehow overcame that. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of disappointment right now, Defo. No question. This is not just going to be swept under the rug in the offseason. And if I had to guess, a lot of changes will come. I think so.
All right, coming to you from the Off-Lease Only Studios, talking with Mr. Everything Baseball, the one and only Craig Mish. Follow him up on Twitter, at Craig Mish. All right, Craig, you're one of the guys that early on in the Derek time when Defo and I sort of were railing against some of the moves they were making because they were already all-stars getting traded away for prospects. You and a lot of other baseball people said this had to happen. They were not the way the roster was, it wasn't really sustainable, and the minor league system was a disaster. They had to turn it over, and they did. And they set out to reinvigorate the minor league system and made it one of the best minor league systems in all of baseball. They did that. They brought together a really good young pitching staff. They did that. However, we're now a few years down the road, and it feels like the opposite of where we were before. We had great hitting, no pitching. Now they have nice pitching, but no hitting, and are still losing. Where are we now in the Derek Jeter, Bruce Sherman tenure?
Well, that's exactly right. They have built up a top five, probably, farm system, close to it, in baseball, but it is predominantly because of the pitching that they have drafted and the development that they have. It's apparent at this point they have a pitching coordinator. His name is Scott Aldred, who hasn't received a lot of credit for anything. You haven't really heard his name, but everyone in the organization has told me that he is one of the main reasons why they have been able to draft and develop these pitchers. Trevor Rogers, no question, after drafted. They now have four of their players from who they drafted, Luby, last year, who are all in Double A. They're the only team in baseball with that. Wow. So the question the statement that you're making is 100% fair. You cannot look in their minor league system and grab more than one offensive player and say, this guy is going to be an everyday player in the big league. You can't do it. So the answer is as follows. They're going to either have to trade some of these pitching prospects, one, two, three, who knows, to acquire major league hitters for 2022, or they're going to have to go out in free agency and pony up a little bit more than they have to acquire a big league hitter. My guess is it's the first scenario where they're going to make a trade to acquire a player that is of much higher caliber that they have on their 40-man roster right now. It could come next week. It could come in the off season, but they can't go into 2022 thinking that this is going to be a winning ball club. And I would leave you with this. How many teams lose 90 games in a season and come back and win 90 the next year? Very few. So that's a scary thought. They're going to have to make some major upgrades for sure.
Oh, man. I mean, one thing you could say, if Don Mattingly was a boxer, he can take a punch, huh? he really hasn't flinched, but he's got to be halfway Meshuggah with all the things that have happened here. And as you said, losing 90 games will not be pretty, although where does that leave us? That leaves us with 72, so we'll take
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Right now.
Exactly.
I'm giving you the number right there, 72 and 90. You're right there.
That's what we care about now. It's all about the cash. How about, speaking of Michigan, in these Met games, where, I mean, 3-run score on one of those Willie Mays dribblers up the left side, and... I mean, it's just been crazy. A 6-run lead early in the ballgame, I guess, first inning, both ways gets erased, and the team that was down 6 runs wins, and then they go like 15-11 with 100 home runs in a game. Are they good enough to sustain being a factor into the postseason, Craig Mish, the New York Mets, in your opinion?
Yeah, what happened to the offseason where we said the NL East was the best division in baseball?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean this was the Marlins. I mean, look, if the Marlins were just decent, they would win this division. I mean, that's
exactly.
What's so frustrating, I think. April
that's
and May,
a disappointment.
Your team was, and they didn't do anything. You know, like, how did they not identify in May or June that the division wasn't going to be good? And then it took them 3 months to acquire one bat, Joe Panik. Like, they could have got ahead of this thing, I think, and fought more than they did, but... Anyway, so the Mets just by default are going to be in this thing to the end. I don't think the Nationals have enough, and unless the Braves do something significant, like, I mean, their best pitcher potentially is this kid Ian Anderson. Their second best pitcher is Soroka. They don't have either of them going right now, and their best player is Acuna. So I think they'll try, but I don't think they'll get in. So it comes down to the Mets and the Phillies. The Phillies offensively are super talented. Their clubhouse is bizarre, to say the least, with everything that goes on with them. You would think that they would win a lot more games than they do, but their bullpen has just been rough. I would guess, Defo, knowing Dave Dombrowski the way that I do and knowing how he's handled business with the Florida Marlins.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Detroit Tigers and the Boston Red Sox, that they're going to make a whopper of a deal on the 30th and go all in on this year. No, you know, kind of looking at the division saying we have a shot. It may be the right call for them to do that. So Mets and Phillies for me toward the end, and I think the Phillies have a really good shot at this if they can get like Craig Kimbrel or somebody to close out games. They just can't find a guy to close out games for them. It's been 2 years.
There you have it, Craig Mish, Aaron Judge to the Phillies for prospects at the trade deadline. Yeah, Dave, he doesn't mess around. You're right. He's going to make some kind of move. Always a pleasure, Craig. You can catch him on Sports Grid 12 to 2 in the Miami Herald, Major League Baseball Network, a contributor there. Swings and Mishes, a podcast on the Marlins. It's always great. Craig, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for being with us.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, be well, Mish.
Thanks a lot. He had us at 72 there, Luby.
Yeah, it's a depressing year, but at least we'd hit our 71.
I don't want to see him lose 90, but you know what? If we did see him lose 90, at least we know we cashed. It's the ALT Depot Show, brought to you by Altitude International. Scoop Skolnick scheduled to join us here, although that was a rather lengthy conversation with one Craig Mish. Also included your Luby's Law, which had my head bouncing back and forth a little bit there, Luby. It really did. But a touching tribute to Bobby Bowden and the fact that he has sadly been diagnosed with a terminal condition, which those are not words we like to hear. Back with more in a moment on the ALT Defo Show. 940 wins, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 924. With us here on 940 wins, 1230 The Zone. Ethan, how are you, my friend?
A few of those we say are going to happen. It's not never due. It's
Well, I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm just talking about in general.
Yeah, well, you know, but I mean, honestly, I feel like the majority of NBA quote-unquote fans these days are more interested in the week that's coming up than they are in the week that actually just happened. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's just the way it is now. People like the transaction and the hint of the transaction.
You just pinpointed Luby to a T. He doesn't care about
that's my
a single
favorite
thing
for the last like decade
in any game. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All he wants to know is who else is in the loop there for Damian Lillard. It's incredible. If he's even going to be traded or moved at all. All right, what did you think? And we always say this. It was established by the Pauly Man many years ago on one of our radio shows, probably the Trivia Challenge. And he basically said, if you could book the media's action, you'd be a rich man today. And everybody had parades going. They had people riding on cacti down the streets of Phoenix, Arizona, on a parade after the 2-0 lead. So what happened there? I mean, did Budenholzer finally erase all of these people that have been defaming him by saying he can't adjust to things and doesn't know how to coach? Because he certainly ended up making all the right moves at the end, did he not?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a lot of things, as these outcomes usually are, right? Like, I think the first thing is that, you know, obviously, you know, Phoenix, some of the things that were working for them didn't work very well anymore. You know, one was that, you know, Ayton couldn't guard Giannis as the series went on, and that just became apparent, and really Monty didn't have a counter for that. And then the other thing was that, if you take a look at the numbers, and I think this is where, you know, Budenholzer did do a good job. If you look at the numbers of when Drew Holiday guarded Chris Paul in this series, he really picked up guarding him more in the second game through the fifth game. And we saw that Chris Paul's performance declined. And I know people were talking about injuries with Chris Paul and everything else, but the reality is, I mean, when Drew Holiday wasn't guarding him, he was aggressive. When Drew Holiday was guarding him, he wasn't aggressive. And I think that was an adjustment Budenholzer made that really probably should have happened since game one, but at least he made the adjustment. So I think there were a combination of things there. And then really there's just this. Giannis was the best player on the court. And sometimes we've seen this. I mean, go back to 2006, you know, where the Heat fell down 0-2, but they had the best player on the court. And I just think that, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, a player just transcends. And look, I picked them to win the championship. You guys know that. Yep. Unfortunately, like you mentioned, you know, Paulie's right, but I the biggest mistake a media member makes is not actually going to their betting site and placing the bet that they believe in. But I thought that if the Bucks, and I said this on your show, if the Bucks beat the Heat, which, you know, it became pretty clear that was a mismatch this time around, if the Bucks beat the Heat, that they would win the title. And the reasons I thought so were because, you know, I didn't know if the Nets would ever get it together this year. And then I didn't really see a team – I didn't trust Philly, okay, and that proved true. And then I didn't really see a team in the West, you know, that really could handle Giannis, to be honest, if he was playing at a high level. And I think sometimes we get caught up in what a guy can't do instead of what a guy can do. Yep. And it really doesn't matter that Giannis can't, you know, is not consistent on his jumpers and all that stuff. If literally he's completely unstoppable with the – when he sets his mind to doing the things he's really good at. And you know, that's like Shaq to a certain degree. Like, Shaq was criticized for certain things he never learned to do. He never needed to learn to do. Why would you want Shaq shooting an 8-foot jumper, right? I just think that we saw a player with a transcendent performance, a breakout performance, and sometimes – and that's the way that these things should be won. So I think that now – we are entering to a certain degree the Giannis era here. It doesn't mean that other guys, you know, won't take their shots, that LeBron won't be back, that Luka won't ascend. I think it's really going to be a golden age for the NBA because I just think there are a lot of guys now who are capable of leading their team to a title.
Scoop, I know we only have a few more minutes with you, but what this series did for Giannis was take him to that next level. He was already a superstar, MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, but people questioned him. And like you just said, I think now we won't. Now we'll actually just focus on his greatness. Like, eventually we did. A lot of us, not all, but a lot of us did with LeBron. But what did this do for Chris Paul, who sort of just skates by on, well, he's a point guard in a different era, so we don't really blame him for not winning. Well, this was a series they should have won. They're up 2-0 again in his career, and he didn't play well. What does this series do for Chris Paul and his legacy?
I think Chris Paul goes down as one of those guys, ultimately, unless he latches on with the Lakers and wins or something like that. Like, you know, maybe he'll be a more productive Gary Payton at the end, you know, in terms of winning a title. You know, more productive maybe than Gary was with Miami. I think he becomes one of those guys like we had in the 90s era that are known as great players, but just never won, right? Barkley, Ewing, Reggie Miller, you know, that group. You know, I think, you know, Karl Malone. I think he goes down as, you know, a top, you know, top 10 point guard. I think you can rank him higher than that. I don't think that this series necessarily is going to be the thing that completely defines him. He wasn't awful. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had a couple awful games, but he wasn't, I mean, the overall numbers for the series, I mean, this wasn't like a complete tank. I mean, like, he didn't play like, say, Ben Simmons played in his series this year, okay? Or like, you know, some of the other guys. I mean, he wasn't awful. And so I think ultimately he'll be known as a guy that was close but not quite good enough to be the best player on a championship team. And the reality is there were very few of those guys over the past 20 years. I mean, there was a period of time where the only guys who won titles as the best player on the championship team were what? Jordan for years, and then what? Duncan, Kobe?
Yep.
Right? I mean, to be honest, you know, to be honest, Dwayne and Shaq, right? Duncan, Kobe, and Shaq. And to be honest, like, Dwayne kind of broke that because he was a breakthrough player in 06. And then you had, you know, since then, what? Durant, Curry, LeBron, yeah. Kawhi? I mean, it's not the longest list. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are going to get into the Hall of Fame who were not the best player on a championship team. So I don't think it's necessarily like a defining thing that he won't get past. I just think he'll kind of be known like he was before, one of the elite point guards of this era, if not the elite point guard, and maybe the last of his kind to a certain degree. I mean, you know, Steph Curry and Dame Lillard are different types of point guards than Chris Paul.
I love the blood splattered all over the paint there whenever Giannis made a move to the basket. I was watching Saving Private Ryan. It looked like the opening scene there, Omaha Beach, as body parts were flying all over the place. Nothing called, and he would end up at the stripe, and then all of a sudden he's shooting free throws like he's Jerry West. It was fantastic. And good to see another time where the media was condemning a guy after a couple of ball games, saying he just wasn't that type of superstar that could carry a ball club on his back, and then he goes out there and averages like 45 a game for the next three games. It was pretty incredible. Scoring at will in a variety of fashions, even if liberal traveling rules were being applied. Ethan, always a pleasure, my friend. And tell us about the Five Reasons Sports Network, some of the things you guys are going to be doing, because while you obviously are an expert on all manners of basketball, and other sports, you guys really get into detail with the Dolphins. I would imagine there's a lot of excitement there around Five Reasons and the editorial desk right now with everything heating up.
Yeah, we're going to have a big week. I mean, we've got training camp starting up next week, so we're finding out from the Dolphins today how many people will get in there, which is always an interesting question. But so we've got Dolphins camp, and then obviously, you know, we'll cover the draft and free agency in the NBA, but we're going to pivot here a little bit. We've got 12 Dolphins contributors, so we're just going to kind of overrun this thing a little bit. So check us out at Five Reasons Sports on Twitter, fivereasonsports.com on your laptop or your phone, and also the Five Reasons YouTube channel. We had like four streams going last night, including one about with a live review of Space Jam, so probably got some copyright infringements on that one. But make sure you check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel for sure.
Who was better as an actor, LeBron or Michael Jordan? We had this big debate yesterday.
I haven't seen this one yet, but my guess is that LeBron, the flopping, may be a little better actor. But, yes, I have not.
Michael did his share of crying. He did his share of crying. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he could make that soap opera-like face. Like he just got robbed of the heavyweight championship of the world on a bad decision. Ethan, always a pleasure, my friend. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. That's fantastic. We love the entrepreneurial spirit of Five Reasons Sports Network and the fact that while other media sources may be in decline, you are growing like the proverbial weed. Thanks so much for being with us, my friend.
Always good to be a weed. Thanks, guys.
He said if he didn't appreciate it.
Or smoke some, yeah.
He didn't mention that. We've sort of been a weed. You definitely have just lingered for 4 decades. And we've, you know, known our time or two with the other stuff.
I'm that piece of seaweed you find in your shorts pocket, like the next time you wear them, even though they've been washed. And you reach in there, and it's like, oh, yeah, yeah. That's the trance I wore to the beach that day. All right, we're coming back with more. Tim Tebow would have been the richest guy, no? Or would have made the most money of anybody.
It's what everyone says. I don't know if we're forgetting guys, but, yeah, it feels like he just was in an era.
Think about Notre Dame, though. I mean, if Paul Harning was able to sell his name and likeness while he was playing for the Fighting Irish, you don't think he would have just rung up a zillion dollars in endorsements? No?
That's what I'm saying. Like, some of these more, like, the Gators aren't a national program. The Gators, during that era, Tebow, because of his religious affiliations, caught some national steam, and he won a lot. But the Gators aren't a national program. The Gators aren't a USC. They're not a Notre Dame. You know, like, it's not like you have Gator fans in every city of every state.
Tebow kind of brought them to that level, though, did he not?
He did. Took him to, like, a
new height. If this guy passed gas, it was on CNN. It's amazing. Well, yeah, he did it. I tell you what, he had that burrito for lunch. Okay, enough with the Tim Tebow obsession. Joel Osteen with a jump pass. I'm going to stick with that description, huh? All of a sudden, I'm channeling my inner Jim Murray. All right, we're coming back with more in a moment. I'm Jeff DeForest. He's Mike Luby. It's 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. The ALT Defo Show is brought to you by Altitude International. With their altitude simulation chambers, they have revolutionized the way sports are being played. And we will return with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Oh, yeah, I just realized. Out at the track tomorrow. Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. It's 941. Let's go to Lee.
Hey, Flo, how you doing, buddy? Number one, you're trying to sell it too hard.
No, I'm apologizing for, you know, being real, which is really sad. I mean, I feel like one of these pathetic people on Facebook.
Well, sometimes you are, so that's your reputation.
Yes.
Number one. Number two is, I think Luby uses the voice shredder all the time. He sounds like a cartoon character. Is there something in his contract that says he has to talk?
There is nothing better than Defo. Welcome back to The Defo Show.
All right, welcome back to the show. Having a great time with you on this fine Thursday. Always great talking to Ethan Scoops Golnick. Knows his hoops, doesn't he? I mean, he starts going back to like 2003 and then talking about, you know, some team that played in the ABA in the 1980s. Just absolutely fantastic. 80s, 70s. Craig Mish on baseball. Great. Tony Segreto, all school, talking about his experiences with Bobby Bowden as well. All great having these guys on the show. Tomorrow we'll be out at Gulfstream Park. A Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. Len Robbins lining up again. He's been on fire lately on the show.
Got to reach out to him, but I presume so.
The New York Extra? Yeah, he seems to enjoy doing that spot, so that's great. Jersey Kyle will be on the scene. And the Gambling Gourmet is going to be live from Saratoga tomorrow. So looking forward to that. He's in New York today. I guess he was traveling today and going to be at Saratoga. I think he's going to be coming to us from the track tomorrow. I'm not sure if he said he was driving up there Thursday or Friday. The Gambling Gourmet, Mike.
It's going to be on the phone. It's on the phone.
All right, very good. All right, that's happening tomorrow at Gulfstream Park. And then, of course, Saturday, we have the Hylia Park Trivia Challenge for you that follows the weekly Fisherman with our good friend Eric Brandon. Man, he's been catching some fish lately, Brandon. He's been, you talk about a guy that's on his game. What happens if Simone Biles ends up pulling out of the Olympics, Luby? Does NBC pull the plug on the coverage? They just hired your girl, Maria Taylor, also. They just hired Maria Taylor to be involved in her Olympic coverage. No non-compete in the TV business, huh? She just walks right out the door of ESPN. Tomorrow she's on another network. That's great. Right? Some poor sucker here in South Florida that needs the money desperately. I don't want to mention any names like me.
Exactly.
Right? Well, you'll have to sit out 6 months there, son. It's like, what? I'm not that important. First they make you feel like mouse meat, and then all of a sudden, well, if he works anywhere else right now, it'll ruin our entire company. That never made any sense to me, did it, Louie, those non-compete clauses?
I think it's ridiculous.
Certain businesses, I guess it would make sense, right? You're taking all of the trade secrets, taking them straight to the Russians. All right, we're coming back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 9:50.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.